Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
What's up with it, John? Man, don't change that sound. This should play upon the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that sound. Wiggling.
Yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the Queen of Trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey, what it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday nights. West West, y'all.
To let the pressure press me into deep regression. Trying not to see a trial that's truly a blessing. Trying not to speak in negative. Trying to see beyond within my island. Trying to take a deep dive in. Try to know that my blackness by nature comes with taxes. Pathologies come with being tilted off your axis. You wanna know how far off? Just look at what rap is. It's out south, there's even double meanings to what the trap is. All my years, all my fears, all my fears have been recognized. At least so far, so it's hard for them to be weaponized. So many of us paralyzed to what the light might do to our disguise. So I just wanna keep it live, let the music ride, get the people high, for the wretched development one more time. About to let out screams like the unborn kind, it's about to be shown to the world for the first time.
When you know you got fame in the game, in a catalog of flames, no shame in the vibe, ain't it? You roll with the gold and they're trying to overthrow, it's a known, yeah, it's hard to describe it. We know it's alright, we've been thieves in the night, rocking everyone inside, while the suckers taking pride, and we always keep it live, everybody stand by, keep it in the light.
Negatives. The picture, it ain't clear after you gave it all you got. Ain't no need to stress it, y'all just take another shot. Misguided monsters by design, we'll try to find the slightest kind of spite designed to fight your grind. You got that little too small feeling, it's just right. I got that little too ball living my best life. Positive visions when you try to picture me. Conscious about my people still a slight pimping me. And even though at time the road is quite slippery, just know that you're not gonna deprive just for me. Chuck that, the power, we fight physically. You don't understand, we fight literally. Hope it's not a strategy, that's my epiphany. If you don't see it, then hey, we just vibe differently.
When you know you got fame in the game, in a catalog of flames, no shame is a vibe, ain't it? You roll with the gold and they're trying to overthrow, it's a known, yeah, it's hard to describe it. We know it's alright, we've been thieves in the night, rocking everyone inside, while the suckers taking pride, and we always keep it live.
Yeah.
and we are now tuned in at episode 455 of the Most Live is a Direct Show on the web, in the streets, in the backpacks, everywhere, off the cuff radio. I'm your host, King Eric, the Media Assassin, and we have a special show lined up tonight, man. I mean, show is sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, sponsored by Screwball Radio, sponsored by Core Financial and Jesse's Boutique. I'm representative on courtesy of myself and waiting for my co-host, T-Max, to arrive. But in the meantime, got a dope show lined up tonight, man. We have possibly one of the most monumental groups. This man here was a front man of this monumental group. And they're back right now in 2021 with great feel-good music. They still putting it down in a very positive way and bringing great vibes into the culture. So without further ado, he's on the line right now alongside with Come Figure. What's all welcome? Speech from Arrest Development, y'all.
What's up? What's up?
What's good, man? Got the book. How y'all doing, man?
We doing great. You know, Configure.
What's good, man?
Configure's coming to you from the UK, and I'm coming to you from the ATL here in America. So it's international.
It's an international
man.
Connection all the way. And it's a 5 hours difference, too.
That just go to show you the bill right there, because I'm in North Carolina. So we have this bridge going three different directions.
So right now.
So is our brother Big Daddy Kane's there, too. Big Daddy Kane lives out there now, too. So, yeah, we representing.
Yeah, he's staying our back. He's staying our neck of the woods.
Exactly.
Good brother.
That's right. That's right.
Good brother, man. But before we get this underway, first of all, man, I want to thank y'all for making this happen, man. Y'all made a great positive contribution to the culture, and it's good to see that you guys are back in rare form again, doing what y'all do. And we just played that joint right there, the joint called Vibe with Big Daddy Kane, man. How did that connection even come to fore?
You know, I've known Big Daddy Kane for years personally, because back in, I'd say probably like 15 years ago, KRS-One called me, and he was like, yo, in his huge voice, and he left a message on my machine.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, this is KRS-One. And he was like, yo, I need y'all to do a show with me. I want you and Kane to do a show together with me. And he was like, you know, let's teach these people what's really going on. And so me, Kane, and KRS-One did some shows together. And so I met Kane back then. I knew his music because I was a fan. So me and Kane stayed in touch, and basically me and Configure, we had created this track, I mean, the song. Configure did the track. I did the, you know, the verse,
yeah.
I created the hook. And then.
And the hook, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And so then it was like me and Configure was talking about who could guest on this record. And we had a few different names that we tossed in the hat, all of them incredible artists. We was talking about my man Drez from Black Sheep. CL Smooth. We talked about, of course, Big Daddy Kane.
Kane. Oh, my God, yeah.
So, basically, I called Kane up, and actually, I called all those brothers up, and we talked. And Kane got back about a month later, and I didn't even tell Configure, because I was like, I don't want to hype Configure up.
Didn't want to jinx it as well and hype me up too much, because I get very hyped.
Exactly. Like, you know, so I didn't want to tell Configure at first until I locked it down. And Kane locked it in, man. He sent this verse in, and then it's like, then
crazy.
I told Configure, I was
crazy.
Like, you're not going to believe who we got on this record. So it was
I literally couldn't. I still can't.
It is. It's a beautiful thing, man. Beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing, man. And it's just to follow from what Speech has just said, it just so happened that we'd already locked the track in, and then the KRS and Kane versus thing happened. And so me and Speech obviously put our heads together and we're like, yo, we've got to we're going to ride this wave. We're going to drop the track the day after the verses. And we
exactly.
did.
Yep.
It was a beautiful thing, man. 200,000 views later on the video.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know what was dope too, man, was that it came at the perfect time because after the verses that they did with Kane and Chris, that track came out. So it was a great timing. It was a great execution
yeah.
for it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was
yeah,
totally,
you.
You know, as Drake said, it was God's plan because we didn't, when we locked the track down with Kane, we didn't even know that the verses
were. We had no idea.
Then we got the announcement about the verses, and we started talking about releasing that song. And then not only that,
absolutely.
When it came to shooting the video, Kane's schedule is busy just like mine is. And it was like, how are we going to get Kane on this video? So I had a brother named Tony Reams, great dude, who directed the video. And
we genius.
Had a show. Kane had a show in Atlanta on with Rakim himself. Kool Moe Dee, Kwame, and I might be forgetting somebody. But anyway, long story short, he had a show in Atlanta, and that's where I'm based. So I was like, yo, if we could get Kane here to shoot this video, we'll have everything ready for him. All it'll take is 1 hour. He could go to soundcheck and then come do this video. And that's exactly
He's got busy on stage as well, Speech. That's not forget. He's got busy on stage with Kane. Yeah, man.
The same night, Kane, he said, yo, I said, Kane, can I get tickets to come into the show? He said, I got one better than that. He said, I'm a put you on the show. So
how dope is bad.
So we did Symphony, and he was like, yo.
Crazy, bro.
He invited me on the stage, and so I got on the stage and rocked people every day, and it was incredible. The crowd went nuts.
Somebody needs to have recorded that, man. Somebody needs to have recorded that.
Actually,
That's a moment.
Actually, Tony Reams, the director for Vibe.
Oh, Tony got it.
He got it on tape. Got it on tape.
Bro, where is – we need it.
Yeah, I know.
They need that content.
Jeez. Yep.
Oh, big up Tony Reams, man. Jeez. And big up Jaha as well, because obviously you were going to, sorry to interrupt though, I needed to tell a story about you getting on stage with Kane. But yeah, obviously Jaha picked him up. Do you want to go from there with the story?
Yeah, Jaha is also on this new album for the F and Love, and he's a great artist
Jaha.
Here in Atlanta. And he was the one that picked up Kane from the airport, got him to the video shoot, you know what I'm saying? So it was just love. It was all good. All good.
Definitely, man. Definitely.
That's what it is, man. Now, hold on. I got my co-host on the line. I got T-Max on board, out from Virginia.
What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing? What's going on with y'all?
Yeah, what's up?
Fantastic.
What's up, man? Look, Speech, this is an honor and a privilege, man, in terms of a living legend on our show among many that we've had. You know, it's great for y'all to come on and, you know, share the story, you know, the hip-hop journey from the past, you know, to the present, you know, and going forward the future.
Thank you. Thank you, man. We appreciate it, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely, man. Appreciate
are you guys feeling, have you guys heard the new album? Have you guys heard For the F and Love?
I haven't. King
it's
Light
not,
have.
You guys need to check it, man.
Okay.
Yeah, you got
the album of the F.
Got to check the new joint.
I will say album of the year. I'm biased, but I'm saying it's album of the year, man. Because I've noticed people are talking about King's Disease 2, which is dope. Don't get me wrong. It's dope. It's nominated for a Grammy. It's dope. But, however, this joint right here, man, serious.
It is.
Everything
serious.
You can think of.
Yeah, man. Some of the songs I've heard, I'm liking the vibe that you guys are bringing back, man, because you know, music is becoming very, like, has a sinister tone to it. Like, you know, the energy is kind of thrown off. And that's, matter of fact, that's what made you guys special in the first place. Was, man, even when y'all came out in the 90s, y'all shifted that tide to bringing the feel-good energy back to the culture.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Harmonized in the feel-good factor, definitely.
You know, the truth is there is a large population of hip-hop lovers, people that grew up with hip-hop that aren't being catered to anymore.
How old, bro?
You know, for this album and our last album, Don't Fight Your Demons, both of those albums are really catering to you. You know what I'm saying? It's catering to people that love hip-hop, that grew up with hip-hop as a culture, and
definitely,
they want that, they want that vibe that, that uplifts and makes people feel good. You know what I'm saying? So this album,
that's saying, you want the old, you want that old thing back. They want that old thing back. That's pretty much what it is. But with the rejuvenated, you know, speech spitting better than ever.
Thank you, man. Thank you. And I mean, and the truth is, Configure's beats, like his stuff is, it has a boom bap style, but to me, it's not dated. It feels
thank
fresh,
you,
but,
you,
it, but it's. But it pays homage to all the things that we all love about hip-hop music. So I feel this album is those things. It's paying homage to what hip-hop is, and at the same time, it's bringing new stuff, you know, to the table too. So
perfect title. Perfect title, I think.
Definitely. And one thing about it, y'all, what you said, both of you, about the demographic that is being ignored, which is the older hip-hop audience, because contrary to what people believe, think, there is an older generation that loves and appreciates the culture but is not necessarily enthralled with the position that it's in right now. And, of course, King and myself were older, and from when we grew up in the era, we, you know, listened to the music, of course, you know, you all were part of our nostalgia. You were part of the era. You were what made, you all contributed to the culture a very rich, very sincere, very soulful, uplifting message, you know, and I think that's the beauty about it from that, you know, 80s to 90s era. It was everything. You know, the business was different. You know, the everything, the aura was different. And everybody was exposed to every aspect of the culture. If you wanted the street hip-hop, you could listen to the street hip-hop. If you wanted to listen to conscious hip-hop, you could listen to that. If you wanted to listen to the party, you could listen to the party. But everybody, it didn't seem so regulated like it is now, let alone that it's only one particular genre being pushed and being played 35 times a day on the radio. It's like there's no diversity out
there. Very true.
You know, and that's, and I think that's what's really, really caused a disconnect with the listening public of hip-hop, no matter who you are, no matter what color you are. But also, too, to see you older and still having the verve, the passion, the enthusiasm, the determination is such a needed element to show that it doesn't matter how old you are in the game doing music. It shows that if you got it, you got it. And we, I mean, this is something we have to commend y'all on, for taking it by the horns and letting people know, like, yo, we're far from finished with this, and we're just getting started showing you the full complexion, the kaleidoscope of creativity, the art form in its most authentic expression.
I mean, I agree with you, bro. It's like, you know, a two-year-old has more knowledge and understanding than a newborn. And the older you get, the more knowledge you have and the more skilled you become at whatever your craft is. So if you're playing guitar for 1 week, you're not going to be as good as the person that's playing guitar for, you know, 30 years. So in hip-hop, for some reason, some people would like us to believe that the older you get, the worse you are at it. And then some people would like us to believe that it's a young man's game only. And the truth is, it's just like any other craft. The older you
it
get,
ages.
The more you work at it,
yeah,
the more you get, mm-hmm, you know, more expertise and better at it. So it's the same with us. And that's what we believe. That's what we're doing. And the other thing that we believe is that there was a certain style of hip hop that we all grew to love in the late 80s, early 90s. And it's not an old style. It's just a particular style. It's a, you know,
yeah,
we really focus
absolutely
on the, we really focus on the boom bap. We really focus on the five pillars of hip hop and the culture of it.
Absolutely.
And the principles of hip hop. these things meant a lot to us. So it's not an old concept. It's just, it's the fundamental and foundational concept. And we just want
to say, it just go back to what Speech was saying about getting better. I read in the YouTube comments, one guy said, did Speech get better? Question mark. And like, I'm like, yo, like, it's been 30 years since he came out. Of course he's got better. Like Speech said, you know, a two-year-old knows more than a newborn. Of course he's going to get, but in hip-hop, it seems to be, you're going to be, like, done by the time you're 35. Like, what's that about? Like, there's guys in their 40s to 50s who are as sharp or if not sharper than they were in their 20s. Kane and KRS proved that.
Yeah,
recently.
So true. Yeah, they did. They did.
Yeah, and
Speech proved
of that,
this last year. Proved it this year.
Yeah, you know, one thing about it, guys, Configure Speech, what we're thinking about now is when we look at it, I think, and this is not by any means trying to shit on the younger, you know, the younger crowd, because there's a lot of young guns doing it. But when you listen to the way of, we have, including you two, we've had so many legends on the show that we, over our years doing this, have had the pleasure to talk to and build on the history of it. I remember the legendary, you know, Bay rapper, you know, from Oakland, Richie Rich. We've had him on the show a couple times. And Uncle Rich was talking to us about how the politics worked in the game, especially coming from the turf out in the Bay Area. And he was like, you know, the youngest, you didn't get into the game until y'all were ready to do it. He's like, we weren't going to let, like, we didn't let them in until we knew they were ready. And when you look at it,
exactly.
You all coming into the game and your illustrious history of the music, of what you both have done, it's, you all were polished coming in. It's like, and I think that's why the music you all have done has had so much longevity. It's still powerful. It still resonates. With some of these artists coming out today, the in the younger capacity, it's like they've looked at it from an aspect. You all looked at it as music is life, where some of these younger artists coming in today look at it as just how I can get a like, you know.
Yeah.
And you can tell a lot of times there's not that emphasis on creativity or really trying to make something that's going to be cultural defining. And I think that's why if I was asked, some of the youngs there, I'm like, who's one of the hottest rappers from 5 years ago? Probably more than likely they couldn't tell me. Or they could tell me, but that artist probably isn't going to make the music that they once did. It's going to make them as popular.
No doubt. I mean, I agree. The truth is that when hip-hop started, by nature,
mm-hmm.
was paying homage to those that came before us. So hip-hop
mm-hmm.
first started off using breaks. Well, it was breaks from older records. And
yep.
when producers of hip-hop were creating beats, they were crate digging. What was that? They were researching music from the past. And
you got Molly
paying
Mark.
Homage to that and creating all new sounds from that. So by mm-hmm. nature, we grew up with this respect for those that came before us and then stand on their shoulders and go higher, take it to another level. And I think, unfortunately, there's been a disconnect with that with the newer generation where they're being proud of not respecting the elders in this field or the people that came before them. They're actually proud
Literally.
That they're not doing
it. Yeah, they're proud of it, yeah, yeah. This and Tupac, this and people who came before them, like, oh, that's boring, you know. Oh, I don't like people who can rap, you know, put, you know, like, rapidly rap. And I mean, it's very disparaging the way they speak about it.
Yeah, it's a total disconnect. And the people that are...
Very disconnect, yeah.
There's a few that do respect it, like a J. Cole or, you know...
Kendrick,
Kendrick, and they do respect the elders. Like, to me, that's why they're able to come with the
Yeah, Joey Bada. Yeah,
the vibe that they're coming with is because they actually do respect the, you know, those that came before them.
That's right, definitely. And also, actually, just an important point. When some, you know, we're talking about bringing music to life. You know, when people, when an MC says that they've killed a beat, somebody said in respect to Speech doesn't just kill beats; he brings beats to life.
Wow,
like. It's life
music. I've never heard that. That's hot. I like that.
Yeah, that was a dope. That was a dope analogy.
Yeah, that is. That is.
Yeah. What have you both noticed about the business of the music in terms of how it's been marketed? Because both of you are equally legends in this.
I've got to stop you there, brother. I've got to stop you there. There's only one legend in this room, and it ain't me. Speech has been doing this I grew up on Speech. I'm just a young gun in the grand scheme of things. I got down with the rest of development, I think 2 years ago, Speech. And we worked the last two albums, but everything else before that, that's for the Speech. So, man, let's give the brother his roses.
Understood.
I just had to say that.
How do you...
I can't take credit for everything that came before me because it wasn't me.
but the fact that you embrace it just as much, even if you don't acknowledge yourself as a legend, configure, you're a begurning one. You know, you're on your way in that status.
Thank you, brother.
You're on that
trajectory. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I agree.
I've been in the game for 20 years, but I've been, obviously, me and Speech have only worked together for like 2 years. But I thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Definitely. How do you both feel about the music in terms of how it's been marketed and in terms of where the direction was then, where the emphasis was placed and where the emphasis is now in terms of how it is consumed, marketed, and produced?
I'll say that the music industry used to be a people's business where the people, DJs, enthusiasts, writers, musicians themselves, they used to dictate what songs were going to blow up. And when the music industry consolidated business-wise in 1996, there was laws passed here in the United States.
Telecommunications Act, yeah.
Exactly, the Telecommunications Act, where it allowed big companies to buy up all of the radio stations, buy up all of the video stations, and make it one company. And so if you think about even in the mid-90s where the labels used to be hundreds of them, and now there's really three major labels. And all of that came about because of this consolidation. And what that consolidation did is it left very little amounts of people making decisions about music for the whole world, basically, where music executives that don't even really love hip-hop are deciding what hip-hop is going to get the most promotion, the most marketing, what hip-hop artists are going to be on the cover of your, you know, national magazines and newspapers, which hip-hop artist is going to be on the featured slot on your streaming service. So, like, these are the ways that music fans discover music nowadays, and unfortunately, it's not music lovers that are deciding what are these artists, which artists are going to be in these slots. And so therefore, conscious music, music that's about other subject matter other than killing and girls and materialism, other than those things, that music is being buried underneath all of the stuff that they want us to hear about.
Somebody called these people that did a review for us, somebody called these other people the landlords of taste. That they're sort of prohibiting people from digging deeper and finding people like us with this great music. You know, they're going to find Drake, they're going to find all these other people, but the landlords of taste, like Pitchfork and other people, won't allow them to discover, a Rolling Stone magazine will allow them to discover what we're doing right now. And so people blindly follow this.
It is true. Like, you know, back in 1993, Rolling Stone named us Band of the Year.
There you go, exactly.
And now, in 2021, I can't get Rolling Stone on the phone to even feature this album. So, like,
We pitched stuff to them, and they you would think it's almost 30 years since they won the Grammy. And this is it. Oh, wow. So it just blows my mind, bro. It just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's definitely a concerted effort to keep conscious and positive hip hop out of the limelight.
Absolutely. It is. It truly is. Transparently.
And the one thing about it with it, in terms of that marketing level, y'all, because this is why You know, this is King's baby right here in terms of this show, and this is part of the vision that he had when he started this, that I've been so blessed along with our co-host, Bill Otter, Sandman, Lady Chinchilla, and so many others that have been part of this journey. This is what we do this for, because we want to be that outlet to where maybe the bigger outlets don't recognize. We want to let y'all know, not only will we recognize y'all, we appreciate what you do, and we want you on to give your voice, because you are the living curators. You are the caretakers. You are painstakingly poetic in the creations that you come with that allows this culture to stay rich, because it's something that, I mean, especially, you know, considering you being from, you know, across the pond, man, it's like, this shows how major this movement is of hip-hop and how it touched you across the water and how it's brought all of us together at this very time. You know,
the late 80s, late 88,
Yeah, and like Speech was saying, you know, it's because of how it's, you know, it's funny when he talked about the Telecommunications Act, because when we listened to the radio back in the day, we could hear, you know, and it was different, too, in terms of the video shows. Shout out to BET with Video Soul, Video Vibrations, you know, Rap City. You know, I remember artists like Gabrielle. You know, I remember groups, you know, from, you know, England, like Gabrielle and Eternal.
Oh,
you know,
Gabrielle, Dreams of Methodist, Dreams. Yeah, yeah, I'm not even going to say. Yeah, Soul to Soul, Loose Ends. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah,
yeah,
no doubt.
Eternal with Stay, yes. You know, I know about Joy, you
yeah,
know,
man.
With the Pendulum Vibe, with Sunshine and the Rain. You know, it's like we saw Arrested Development. We saw such a variety. This showed it just a rich diversity. And now it's like, you know, there's always been a saying that is real, and I didn't think about it until a couple of years ago how right it was when it was written. Somebody had wrote, real hip-hop heads are not watching or not listening to the radio. The real hip-hop heads are reading the magazines and they're reading the blogs.
So
that's
blog
what they're trying. Yeah, exactly. Because they're trying to find what is not in the mainstream. You know,
well, that's true.
So.
And, you know, I will say that while that is true, it's also unfortunate because many of us who love hip hop were introduced to it from revolutionary DJs that introduced us to KRS-One or introduced us to the brand new, you know, Run DMC single or whatever.
Yeah.
So like, you know, we unfortunately have witnessed radio being taken over by corporations to where they're not going to introduce us to the real hip hop anymore, and that's an unfortunate truth that I hope we could take back. So like shows, like the reason I do shows like y'all's, and I did an interview right before this one as well, is because you guys are willing to be activists in a sense when it comes to music. And make sure that your listening audience has a chance to hear what's out there. It's important that we support each other because, or else, these corporations will surely program the music for us, and they will not give us the stuff that the culture needs.
That's exactly right. We are all we've got.
You know how crazy how they rigged the game to where, okay, it used to be, the barometer used to be CDs and vinyl. Now it's no longer that. Now it's streaming. And now it's even YouTube music. You see people getting plans for YouTube.
Yep, exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
Clocks up, they get made up by themselves, but they pay for them. But
exactly.
You can easily click that video like a million times and go a million and get a flag. I've seen it happen.
Exactly right.
It used to be, you know when Speech was getting plaques? That meant something. That meant something back then in 92, 93. It doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah, because the measurement is totally made up. It has nothing to do with
exactly.
real things that are happening, you know. You know, no offense to Drake, because I like Drake, but the truth is you know, his stats show that he's as big as Michael Jackson, but the truth is he's not even close. Like, the truth
not
is
even
no.
People
no.
have to leave their house and get in their car. They used to have to leave the house, get in their car, and go to a record store and buy a record and go back home and listen to it. Nowadays, that has no comparison to people that's just able to turn on their phone and stream a record. That's totally different. You know,
it shows you that Adele's 25 times bigger than Prince.
Yeah, exactly.
Really? I don't think so.
It's not true. Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah. And a marketing machine.
But actually,
so
you know, just to finish that point off, Speech sold 4 million units when a unit meant something. Now, 4 million streams is like a few thousand dollars in the bank. It's not even equivalent. It's just ridiculous.
True.
And it's gotten crazy. Even YouTube personalities are getting plaques.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I need mine, damn it.
Yeah, seriously.
Exactly. Why not?
Why not, indeed? Everyone else is doing it. Why not you? Exactly, man.
The parameter change.
That's right.
Man, but what?
Man,
how do you all?
This century is being a trip. This century is being a trip.
How do you look at social media now in terms of it, in reference to how it has influenced, you know, not only music, but the culture in general from all aspects?
You know, we use, like me at Configure, you know, we use social media in order to reach the people. But for me personally,
yeah.
I don't like social media. I mean, I feel like it's a false world. I love what Dave Chappelle said on his last special closer. He was like, you know, Twitter is not a real place. And that's true. Like, none of these places are real. Like, these places are just, you know, they're digital designed places that actually aren't real, but we still use them, so I'm not totally dissonant, but
we have to use them, though. If we have to use them,
that's
right. Or how do we spread the word, how we need to spread it?
Exactly.
Like, always, and Speech always encourages this, and I encourage this, always sign the mailing list, because we own the data then. Because if we don't, because Mark Zuckerberg on Meta, as he calls it now, and the other guy, Jack, who just gave up recently, they own the data. If you come to sign the AD mailing list or the Configure mailing list, we own the data. We can hit you direct, you know?
Exactly.
Otherwise, these people, they can shut things down, and we have no way of reaching you. So
that's exactly right. That's Configure hit it on the nose. Like, so social media is cool for what it's worth, but at any point, they can change the algorithm or they can change the entire platform, and we have no other way to reach people.
And we've got nothing. That's right. So for everybody, you know, aspiring artists out there who are pushing their stuff on social media, please get a mailing list and get people signed up to your mailing list, because that is your data.
Yeah.
Yeah, the algorithm is a way to manipulate the masses from following
us.
We hit it.
We hit it, bro.
Yep. The algorithm, it's just really an oppressive way to basically
oppress people, bro.
Yeah, to oppress people and exhibit ways of, whether it's, you know, keeping certain music back, whether it's racism, whether it's keeping certain people apart from
each other.
I mean, it's algorithms
are a trip, man. Bro, did you realize that a couple of songs, I think it was The Forsaken, I was trying to push it. It said it was too political, and Instagram withheld my paid promo for that track.
Yeah.
I think it was a track that wasn't even political, bro.
Exactly. Yeah.
I was like, these guys, serious.
Yeah, I guess there's people that, like, if they say, yo, Speech is the GOAT, some people on Twitter, I mean, the algorithms on Twitter will sometimes make it a sensitive comment. And they'll not see the comment because they say that it's offensive. And it's like little things like that make it crazy.
I didn't know that one. Wow.
Yeah. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah. But it just shows how
he's got these guys that Mitch Buffett. We need our own. We need a. We. I've always said this. I will say this like literally now. We need our own platform, guys. Seriously, we need a platform where we can just be.
Yep, I agree with that.
Where hip hop is appreciated and the artistry is appreciated, man. No algorithms.
Yeah.
I just don't have. I just don't. I don't personally have the skills.
Yeah, you know, and that's important because, but you know, it's funny because when you watch how people, because of course algorithms are set from, obviously it's man-made, so it can always be manipulated, but then it's also from a perspective of, you know, people's viewing on YouTube, like with my channel, you know, I do a lot of underground and old school hip hop and R&B. So those algorithms are pretty much going to pop up for everything that's of the like. You know, this is how I've found, you know, so many of these new artists. And, of course, with my IG, you know, this is how King and myself, you know, we really reach out to the artists directly. And we've been blessed because a lot of times, you know, we hear the talent that nobody is listening to. And that's why we want to get them on, you know, because we're like, if nobody else is going to give them a platform, well, damn it, we're going to give them a platform.
I think that's great.
That's dope. That's dope. Yeah, that's great. That is dope.
Yeah.
It's a gift and a curse, though, because I've got to say, in one respect, we're saying this about the algorithms and how they're playing us, but on the other sense, that I would never have hooked up with Brother Speech if it hadn't been for social media, because he heard my music with Jahi. I linked up with Jahi through Chuck D. Chuck D heard me through social media. And, like, so there is a positive to this negative, too, right? So it's a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I agree with that.
Yeah, man.
And, I mean, and
we
wouldn't have been able
to music.
We wouldn't have been able to do these albums during this
global, that's right, exactly.
During this global pandemic.
It's a blessing as well. It's a blessing as well, definitely.
Yeah.
Just we need better algorithms. That's what we're saying.
Yeah. So I mean, so we gotta ask, you know, because of course we know about Speech's legend in the game, but Configure, we really gotta get to know more about yourself in terms of it. I mean, you being from England, you know, what was it like for you growing up there? I mean, especially with some of the acts coming up over there, like Cookie Crew, Money Love, and all. What was your experience like?
Oh, wow.
What was your first? Yes, I took it back.
They were my heroes growing up, bro. They were my heroes, particularly Moni, which was crazy because I could rap down to earth word for word when I was around about 9 years old, and then work with the lady who was my, you know, on my wall, poster on my wall, one of my earliest crushes. Crazy. And then AD came along just slightly after that. And I was, like, obviously rapping Mr. Wendell. So, like, to be working with, like, literal legends of mine is just insane. Mind-boggling. But, yeah, we always had a decent hip-hop scene. We had, like, I think hitting over in the States, I think Derek B might have made some waves in the States.
Yeah, Derek B was big.
Hijack was down with Ice-T. Hijack made some moves. Or obviously, Moni. Obviously, we still claim Slick Rick. Even though he was, you know, he was 12 when he left, we still claim Slick Rick. We even claim MF Doom, who was born here, but he left like years ago. But there's been no one. I've got to say this though, there's been no one with a British accent who maintains a British accent who has really cracked America on a hip hop level. Not that I know of, anyway.
Man,
anyway, precisely, but yes, I was influenced by all of that stuff. And hey, man, I'm not even from London. I'm originally from the north of England, where there was no pop and hip hop scene. So I looked overseas. I didn't look in my immediate area. And I wrote about this on my PhD thesis. And I can cook you guys up. It's about the white appropriation of black music. And so basically, I talk about people in predominantly white areas appropriating black music going back to the 60s, when there was a blues boom over in the UK, when blues guys were ignored in the States, such as John Lee Hooker, and they came over to the UK and got mad love. And so that inspired, like, the Animals, House of the Rising Sun, Fleetwood Mac were a blues band, the Rolling Stones were a blues band, all these are all, Hendrix got no love in the States. Hendrix came over, his manager was from my city, and he made it huge here. So my dad, I remember my dad bunked up school, and he went and saw Jimi Hendrix in 1967, and he couldn't hear for 3 days, and that's just legendary tales. But yeah, we've both had a more, I would say, it's not perfect here, but we've always had a more, we've assimilated better, if that makes any sense. Whereas I, from my studies, race music, it was still called race music in the 60s in the States. Race music, I mean, that's crazy to me. It was just called music here. So it was a better assimilation, I guess. It didn't have the same repercussions and the same history behind it all. But with me personally, it's as simple as this, bro. Without all that history behind it, I was listening to the radio one day, and I heard De La Soul come on the radio, and I was hooked. That's as simple as it. For me, it's as deep as that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
And what that goes to show is that when music is exposed to the people respond. Like when
That's
great
right.
music is exposed, which means that the systems that expose music to people need to be fair, and it needs to be music-based, like real music lovers as opposed to corporate-based.
Absolutely.
I see it all the time. Like when we go to Japan, we'll release an album.
Oh, Japan's such a dope scene.
Well, it'll do very well in Japan, but it won't do nothing in the United States. And the only difference is that they were exposing it in Japan, and they weren't exposing it here.
Did I ever tell you this, though, that there's an MC out here called Funky DL. You may know of him, Funky DL?
Not offhand, nah.
All right, okay, but Funky DL, he's a British MC. He does jazzy rap. You know, he's a UK legend, right? But he's not a legend outside of the UK. He was out selling Jay-Z in Japan.
There you go. Yeah.
That straight up shows you that Japan do not care about what's happening anywhere else. It's speech like, I think you should mention about your debut album, bro.
Yeah, well, my solo album, like, when I released
that. Yeah, your solo album, not that song, man. Yeah,
when I released that in 1996, it didn't do anything in the States. But that exact same album went gold. It was the number one record in Japan for 6 weeks.
Crazy.
But I say all of that to say that it just wasn't exposed in the States. So if it would have been exposed, it could have done just as well here. But that's the problem with exposure and the power of exposure. You got to get stuff out there, you know what I'm saying? Which is, again, why I love the show, which y'all are doing right now, you know?
Me too. And it's what you guys look beyond that insular attitude that a lot of American publications have or American outlets have, that whatever's happened in the States is the only thing that's popping. No, it's a big world out there, bro. It's a big world out there. I'm living proof of that. So, yeah.
Yeah, facts. I agree with that. All of that.
Yeah. And one thing about it, because on Off the Cuff, we also like to give history a configure. You mentioned Jimi Hendrix. There's also one of y'all native sons from there, too, that used to roadie for him. I believe his name was, just this legend of this group called Motorhead. Lemmy, that's his name. Lemmy Kilmister.
Oh, Lemmy. Yes, Lemmy from what he was. Yes, he was literally. I'm surprised you know this, bro. I didn't expect to go down the rock route, but yes, Motorhead. Ace of Spades. Oh, my God. Hey, yes.
Yeah, Fast Eddie Clark,
yeah.
Filthy Phil Taylor, all of them. Yes, dude, I'm a metalhead as well.
Even though the drummer. Wow. Okay. It's a little bit before my time, but my dad is big into that music, bro. My dad is like, I know through him.
Bastard.
Yeah.
His band Hawkwind and Bastard. Jeez. Those are some of the early. Yeah. I mean, of course, we got a shout out.
How old are you, bro?
I'm 43.
You're wild. You're just a year older than me. Wow. You filthy. I think you get the Animal Taylor. Wow, man. Jeez. Like, you
man,
know your stuff. Well,
and we come for that. Yeah, we come for that time where, in order to partake in certain discussions, you had to pretty much know from front to back the genre. You couldn't come in just for clout.
That's true.
You had to
pretty much
know what you're talking about when going in the chamber.
I agree.
I remember, particularly this year, you go on those message boards back in the 90s, you had to know your hip-hop and your music front and back, left, right, and center, people would clown you, seriously.
True. It's very true.
And I've seen so many.
I remember
it
well.
Potential VJs. I've seen so many potential interviewers and VJs. They die a slow, painful death because they didn't know certain questions to ask. I've seen this first and foremost. Like, just literally just self-destruct.
Yep.
And I'm like, man, I gotta get on that. I can't have that viral moment.
Yeah, that's right. Bro, I'm a geek. I'm the sort of geek that will argue over, like, release dates from, like, 25 years ago. And the artists themselves don't even know their release date. Like, De La Soul notoriously don't remember their own release dates. Like, and I remember their release dates for them.
Speaking of De La Soul, y'all, because they recently were fighting with Tommy Boy for all those years, getting their masters back.
Oh, yeah. Come Silverman.
And congrats to them for finally winning that battle. How important is it for artists to understand the business aspect, to know, number one, what they're signing, and number two, make sure that at the end of the day, they're owning their livelihood as opposed to somebody owning it for
them. This is one for speech.
Well, you know, it's very important if you can pull it off. And, you know, it helps. You know, it's more complex than what people might think. So, like, when you own your masters, you know, I'll give you an example. There's a scripture in the Bible that basically says, you know, you can work your tail off on this earth. I'm paraphrasing, but you can work your tail off on this earth, but you don't know what the people after you are going to do once you pass on. And so I'll go back to the masters. Like, for me, I want to own my own masters from the early albums. I do own masters nowadays, but I don't own the stuff from the first debut.
Yeah.
And I want to own them. But at the same exact time, I have no idea what my kids are going to want to do with my masters. So I say all of that to say, a lot of times new artists are unfortunately presented with deals that suck. They suck.
Yeah,
so,
for real.
So and I talk about this on the song called Have Your Moment on our new album. Don't fight your demon.
That's right. The last track.
And so I say this on this record, but one of the things I say is that a lot of times you're presented with these horrible deals. And as an artist, you've got to make up your mind what you want to do. Sometimes if you say, well, I want to own everything, they won't sign you. So you have to make a decision. Mm-hmm. Okay, am I going to wait or am I going
to
go ahead
and sign?
And so, like, Jay-Z was a great example of waiting, but he was a little older when he finally signed his deal. He was a little older than a lot of people.
And he bought everything back, didn't he, eventually? Yep.
And he bought things back, but I'll say, like, Big Sean had an interview on Drink Champs recently where he's talking about his deal with Kanye West, good music label.
Good music.
And
yes, sir.
The deal sucked, but his viewpoint, which was mine in the early 90s as well, was, okay, well, let me just get out here and get my foot in the door, and then let me change it. As soon as I get my leverage, I'll change the deals. So I'm saying all of that to say artists have to make up their own mind. Some artists may decide, well, I'll wait until I get the best deal, and they may win that way, and I applaud them. And then there's other artists like myself that back in the 90s, I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. There was no deals being given to people from Milwaukee. And so I made a decision to go with a deal that I don't regret that I signed it, but I definitely wish it was better. So I say all of that to say people got to make up their own minds as to how they want to run it, but definitely try to get rights to your stuff in the long run. So, and that's what you said in your question, and I agree with that.
Definitely.
And, you know, because of that, y'all, a lot of the artists we've talked to, back in the, from those days, they talk about how crazy those deals were, and we look at now, if the emphasis is, you know, the thing is now a lot of these artists can't even get on without signing a 360, because when you break down the science of it, a 360 is getting a piece of everything. Well, back in the day, tour money was specifically your money, you know.
Yeah, that's
you
correct.
You did merchandising, even at a certain level then, because merchandising then wasn't the way it is now, but even then, if you had merchandising, that was yours, and now you're having a label come in basically saying, look, not only are we going to give you a loan, possibly millions of dollars, and album obligations that you are required to meet, but guess what? We're taking a big, giant piece of your ass in terms of whatever you make that we didn't have any part of to begin.
Crazy, man. Crazy.
Yeah, and that's horrible. And I will say to
really artists, horrible. Yeah.
To artists nowadays, I would not suggest that they ever sign a 360 deal. And the only reason why is that, unlike us in the 90s when we signed deals, you have the internet. You have other ways to expose your music. You know, back in the 90s, if you didn't have a record out, a physical record, there was no way to expose your music. So,
right.
And studios back in those days cost thousands upon thousands of dollars to create
music. No home studios back then. That's
there was
right.
no home studios. So all of those things changed the game when you're able to make a whole record in your bedroom and put it out in your bedroom without having met anybody from a label or without having had one recording engineer at your studio. You're able to put everything out in a push of a number of buttons. So I say all of that to say, you know, that changes the game. Don't sign a 360 deal. It's never worth it. Go ahead and try your hand at just putting it out yourself and get a team of people that love your music, find your tribe, and just promote the hell out of it. That's what I would suggest.
Again, though, a gift and a curse, because that, with that being said, that so many people, there's a proliferation of just like music coming and coming and coming, and a lot of it is whack. So it's almost like a gift and a curse yet again. That double-edged sword I mentioned before. It's easy to get your stuff out. We can bypass these big labels. However, everybody thinks they're an MC now. Everyone thinks they're a producer. Like, there's like nobody really thinks they're a fan anymore. Like, and so yeah, you're trying to scream above the noise, and that in itself is another unique 21st century problem.
I totally agree with that.
Because I'm old enough to remember back in the days when you had to have a distribution deal at least and get your stuff put in Sam Goody and all that kind of stuff. I was back from those days, but now, man, nah, anyone could do it.
Yep, I agree with that.
And
yeah.
I think that's what.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying, like, the master wouldn't understand what it was like to buy those physicals and, you know, get an insight on who the artist are. And who produced the art. Like, that's what I miss about the physicals. When you look at those insider notes.
Yeah, me too.
Who produced the project, who engineered it.
I'm a producer. Yep, for real.
I think a lot of rappers today are happy because it will show them ghostwriters on them projects.
You don't show the Papa Ryan's credit. They don't shoot mixed it. They don't shoot mastered it. They don't shoot produced it, unless my brother Speech, he credits the producers, and I've got to big him up for that. Not many people do. They don't put like the credits that they put on for producers in as a featured artist. They will like, you know, the ghost the producers, and they will leave like you said, they will leave their ghost writers in the dust as well. So it's perfect for someone like Drake, basically. Yeah.
You know, and one thing about it, what a lot of artists talk about today, because everybody's talking about, well, streaming, this, that, and the other. I mean, configure speech. We had one of the most greatest shows a couple of years ago with a guy by the name of Young Conda Don. King and myself still got our mouth open with amazement from the way Young Con broke down the whole mathematics of streaming. He must have did a he had to research this shit months before he actually came on the show, because the way he broke down that math, I'll send it to you, because it configure, we do follow each other on IG. I'm T Max NBA, so it's great to actually talk to you in person. Yeah, and followed your page as well, T Max NBA, so you'll see me in the request and a follow. But, yeah, but I'll send you all that clip. But he broke down the whole math of what it is in terms of how many streams an artist has to get. Remember that King when he broke down how many streams an artist has to get to really start making money off of it?
It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy, real.
It's
obscene.
And it's, to me, it's just the physical copies are a true testament. I don't call it a relic because relic can mean it can kind of have a negative context at times. To me, it's a keepsake. It is a souvenir. It is a tangible object that is representative of an artist's work. You know, especially now with what we're seeing with some of the songs out there. You know, we're saying this one off the cuff just for, you know, historical and journalistic context. We're not trying to point fingers or slander anybody. It's like what happened with YG Flocka's on his album, On My Crazy Life, in 2014, where he had a lot about the Asians' house getting hit. And they took that off, you know, the whatchamacallit, they took that off of streaming. You know, unless you have the actual physical copy of the album, you don't have that. You know,
that's crazy.
A lot of these artists out here, you know, as dope as they are, you know, some of them, you know, you can't even find their records online because it may have not broken out that far, where they may have only had an underground following. So some of these records may have been lost to history, you know, because nobody really knew about them. Not because they weren't dope. So it's like some of these albums, you know, you may not hear online. And that's why I tell anybody,
Think about this.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
If we didn't know De La Soul as the legends that they are, right, and if we were basing it purely on streaming, we wouldn't know who De La Soul were until recently, right?
Right.
They've only just recently reappeared on streaming. So if it hadn't been for the legendary CDs and tapes that we all copped, we wouldn't know who these guys were.
Yeah.
So that's crazy to me. So, yeah, so streaming is not the be-all and end-all at all, no. And we're big up Bandcamp because we love Bandcamp. And we love the people that buy our albums from Bandcamp, being Speech. I put Speech on a Bandcamp, and he loves it. He's a convert. And it's a very musician-friendly platform. And it's almost like the closest to the old school you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for right now, I agree totally.
Yeah.
Definitely. Beach, since you started on your solo journey years ago, what is the most What have you found about yourself as an artist in terms of being able to expand your creative and artistic scope from your interpretation and expression? Because you've been doing this for a while now, and a few albums in. What did you discover about yourself during that time?
To be honest, I think I just discovered that I could lead a band without. Like, I could be on stage without having a ton of people. I could do melodic things just as much as I could do rhyme and hip-hop stuff. So I felt like it gave me the freedom to be my full self, you know. Some of my solo albums is all singing, you know, where, you know, Arrested Development stuff was not. So it just opened my heart up to, you know, to go as far as I possibly could. You know what I mean? And I'm grateful for that. You know, it helped my self-esteem. It helped my confidence in who I am as a musician. Like, I was able to tour. I was able to do shows with Herbie Hancock and Chaka Khan.
Wow.
Legend.
Yeah. And then, you know, be on stage with The Roots, of course, but Parliament and Funk.
We want to see AD versus Roots versus people. Come on.
Exactly, you know what I mean?
I just had to say that.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, it's all like inspiring stuff. It helps me to realize who I am and how far I can expand.
And Configure, with your extraordinary history, how has it felt for you to be able to not only collaborate with Speech with so many other hip-hop artists as well over the years from a legendary perspective? And yes, you are a legend.
Bro,
just gonna have, you have to ride with it. You just gotta go with it. So yeah.
I can't believe it, to be honest with you. I can't believe where I came from to where I am now. To be, like I said, you know, these people are my heroes as a kid, and now working with them, like that they're on my compositions. It's Kane, Speech, Moni, many others, Craig G, Craig G, and a few, one of my album, my solo album. It's just crazy. It's bonkers. Master Ace. I can't put words in it, bro. I'm truly blessed.
Yeah.
I'm truly, truly blessed because there's many, many people in my position that would love to be in my position. And there's one thing I want to say. It's like, you know, you can see how people move when you're doing something successfully. You realize, and Speech will have realized this in 92, but I've realized this more recently in maybe the last 2 to 3 years, who is truly down and who is kind of just a perfunctory person in the background, like who's really, really down, you know? When people really, truly congratulate you, they mean it sincerely. Yeah. You can see through the hangers-on. You can see through it, man. You can see through it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
And from that level,
that's the first time that I've had to see this. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and we get the same feeling because one thing about it is we understand how this culture touches so many people, you know, and when we see aspects of it, it helps us to really get through the lens of people who have actually been there, you know, to really, you know, through the millions of fans, of listeners all over, for them, you know, to see how your music has not only reached them, but how you are able to articulate that reach to people like us.
Right.
We would like to think for what we do, we're doing something that years later, after we've left the earth, we've left an eternal legacy for people to really say, well, not only did these guys, you know, have a platform, but they also respected the legends that came on the platform. Because one thing about it, we've seen in journalism over the years, we've seen a situation where you got a lot of people, and off the cuff radio, we can get wild and crazy, but our intention is to disrespect or marginalize anybody, but we do call it like it is with certain people out there that don't really have a vested interest in it more than they do how they can exploit it. Those people shall remain nameless out there. How do you all manage to kind of stay away from those posers posing as, you know, podcasters?
I'll let the Speech take this one.
Well, I mean, I feel like, you know, unfortunately, the quality has to rise to the top, and the people that really have something to offer have to rise to the top, because there is so much data out here, and there's so much information. And, you know, yeah, so that's what I feel personally.
Agreed, yeah. Seriously, it's as simple as that, man. That, I mean, you guys clearly on this show have done your research, clearly. The quality will always rise to the top. Me and Speech have done a lot of interviews together. I'm not going to name names, but some interviews have been very, how can I say, generic, and this has not been that, and we appreciate you.
Yep, I agree.
Definitely, man. Heck, that's what I told T-Max. I'm like, look, man, when we come in this, we can't be sounding like the next person. We got to have our own format. We got to present a vibe that people could come in and be like, yeah, these guys know what they're talking about. They
definitely.
Architects
that's
of the culture.
That's exactly
coaches,
the vibe,
so
I'm, exactly
look,
the vibe I've got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the most important. You know, when we look at the legend, you know, especially over the past, year that we've lost, of course. Continue, you said NF Doom, formerly known as Zev Love X from KMD, causing much damage, of course, with his brother Sub Rock. I mean, Doom was just, oh, my God. He's in my top 10 all time. You know, Doom was just unbelievable.
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely.
Of course,
we claim him because he's born here, but yeah, man, he's legend, absolute legend.
Yeah, man, I mean, you know, when we look at the legends that we've lost over the years, how important is it? Because of course we've lost DMX, we lost Kango Kid, you know, the basis
is Marky,
group,
too many.
Yeah, too many. How important is it for the next generation of hip hoppers to understand the people that came in the game and what they contributed? Because we don't want people to be dead and gone before we give them their bouquet, you know, an abundance of appreciation.
Yeah.
How do we really, really expand the scope for the next generation to know? Do the knowledge and be educated with the elders that paved the way.
Yeah, in my opinion, it's shows like this, you know, making sure that we're doing due diligence and keeping the culture alive, you know. And when we do that, you know, we can't guarantee that in the moment we release the material, I mean, in the moment we release the podcast, that it's going to get the type of virality or the type of numbers that we hope for, but at the right time and place, it still will get those numbers in the future. Like, to give an example, Kango did a performance on the steps of, like, somewhere in D.C., or no, it was in Harlem, and it was a great performance, but I never saw it until after his death, and then that old performance that was filmed, like, 7-8 years ago started showing up, and people started respecting
it. Yeah, man.
Just the level of showmanship that Kango had, you know, and
I wish the flowers had been earlier.
I wish it could be too, and I mean,
yeah,
shows like this help it to be that way. But I think,
absolutely,
unfortunately, sometimes it happens later, you know, and it just.
But you know,
is.
Let me check this out though. For albums like "Don't Fight Your Demons" and albums like "For the F and Love," give and the amount of love that's poured out for us, me, Speech, like. Speeches, rhymes, and just that also expedites things, like the quality output, you know, because, you know, with respect to a lot of these old school guys, their output in later days might not have been as good as their early days.
No, I agree.
You cannot say that about AD. You cannot say that about AD. I'll question anybody who ever says that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of help.
Hey, brothers, I got a 10 o'clock, like,
yeah, international call too, man, because Speech had to call me to call you guys, so, yeah, we're international right now, so, yeah.
Yeah, I have a 10 o'clock thing I got to do, and I promised that I would do it, so I got to blaze out.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, all me right. Too, so that means me too, so, peace, guys, we appreciate you guys.
No doubt, man.
Definitely,
much
man.
Appreciation.
Love Phil, man.
Definitely. And you know y'all are welcome.
Much love, fellas. Thank you for having us on, and thank you for the support.
Yes, thank you. And you know you're welcome back anytime.
And
you know, we definitely got to do part two for this.
Yeah,
yeah,
I would
definitely,
love that.
Man. We're down. We're down. Absolutely. No doubt indeed, man.
Definitely.
Always. And y'all have a blessed night.
All right. Be good.
Thank you. Much respect. Right. Much respect, guys. Peace out.
Much respect.
Much love.
And on that note, we out, y'all.